Welcome
to the final episode of Doctor Who Time and Space. Ooh. A weekly Doctor Who podcast starring me, Liz Moon.
And me, Daddy Cool.
Yeah.
Back to the original.
Yeah, back at the beginning we used to call you that.
I've been Daddy Cool, Doctor Cool, The Cool.
D Cool.
D Cool, yep.
D Cool.
You name it.
You started getting less letters in you.
Less letters, but I've retained being cool for all 400 plus episodes.
Yes. Well, it's nice to have you on for the 401st and final episode. And
oh, thank you. It's nice to have you on.
And, you know, we wished we could have ended on episode 400, but like everything else about this podcast, it's odd. And we are going to be today bringing this podcast to an end with the end of something we've built towards for the last few years, for the last 6 years on this podcast. We have been, I was just fiddling with a pen, by the way, and my friend here drew it away. Anyway, so for the last 6 years, we have been building towards a sort of crescendo of the randomizer we've been watching through and reviewing every episode of the show, New Who and Classic. And we've reached the end of that today.
Yes.
And what is the story that we have reached as our final episode?
So the big finale for us is Seeds of Doom.
Yeah, and we'll be reviewing that later on. As well as that, we will be doing a 3-minute rant for the final time, which is one of our favourite features, I think, one of our trademark features. And that will be on series 13. So one of us, we haven't decided which one yet, in our typically unprofessional, unprepared manner, but one of us will be talking about the things we want to see in series 13, and one of us will be talking about the things we don't want to see in series 13.
Yeah, okay.
And we've also got some other stuff coming up as well, so it should be quite a jam-packed show, but it should be good, so stick with us.
Yeah.
And we hope you can stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, this is a final time for the show. We've got plans for something new, but perhaps we'll talk about that a bit later on.
Yeah.
Briefly. But it would not be a Doctor Who Time and Space show if, firstly, we didn't have a technical hitch, but we'll probably save that one for later. But also, for us to actually have a little bit of think around any news.
Yeah.
Now, there was actually some fairly substantial news this week, or rumour, I should say, rather than news.
Yeah, indeed, and it was something that broke the Phantom apart, and the Phantom's easy to break apart, to be honest. We saw that with Revolution of the Daleks, but this week quite a big rumour came about, and it's a rumour that circulates pretty much every series with a Doctor, because obviously the thing with Doctor Who to get the most clicks and the most attention is to say that the Doctor's leaving. But this time it seemed a bit more reliable from the looks of things. So the rumour suggested that Jodie Whittaker is going to be leaving in the New Year's Day special 2022. In a sort of extravagant final story, and regenerating into the 14th Doctor. And the initial article, which was produced by the Mirror, said that that she had quit. I don't think she had. Now, my personal opinion is, this is true, I think. I'm not going to say, obviously, it is true, but I think it's true. But I don't think she quit. I think that's just a thing to get views.
Think so?
Yeah.
But you think they've asked her to leave?
No, as in she's always known she was going to leave.
Oh, potentially. Yeah. I don't think they'd be.
No. That's what I mean. The article seemed to make out like she quit, like she'd gone to Chris Chibnall and said, "I don't want to be in this anymore."
Well,
and I think that's.
Do you know? I think that is right. I don't think it, not in that sort of way, but I think she's probably just said, well, I think I've done enough time now.
Mm. But she's been going on all this time about wanting to be the longest serving Doctor.
Yeah, but so did Capaldi. I think the thing is, they underestimate quite how onerous it is.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, Jodie's probably had a slightly easier run of it than certainly Capaldi and Smith and Tennant before them, because at least there's been whopping great gaps.
And less episodes.
And less episodes, yeah.
Not to say she hasn't had a hard job, because, you know, they obviously series 13 is going to be a lot harder because everyone's going to be following some more rigorous procedures.
Probably. Yeah. So I think it's probably quite as per the rumour, to be honest.
Yeah.
So do you like the rumour? Do you not like the rumour?
I'm glad in some respects because I haven't been quiet about, you know, I've made it quite clear that I'm not a huge fan of Jodie Whittaker's Doctor, and just because they've taken the wrong approach. I think she could be suited to a sort of darker take on the role. I think she's a good actress overall. I just feel she's a bit miscast in the role as the Doctor. She doesn't feel very Doctorish, at least compared to a lot of other actors and a lot of other female actors as well. And I'm not a fan of her take on the role or the way her incarnation has been portrayed.
I think that's the issue to me. I don't know whether it's her or whether it's Chibnall or what, but one way or the other, she just doesn't seem to fit that sort of clumsy Doctor.
No.
I don't think.
Those brief moments where we've seen a darker side to her, she's actually been quite good, but they've been too brief to make a significant influence, I think. And I don't think she's the right person for the role. We'll go into who is rumoured to play the role and who the bookies have said could play the role, because the bookies have already started. They've already started making bets, even though it's not even announced yet.
Okay.
It's the thing I'm not happy about. I think the problem with this era is not Jodie. Obviously, I'm not a fan of 13's portrayal. But I think it's mainly due to the writing. I think it's mainly due to Chris Chibnall. And Chris Chibnall's going to be staying, according to the rumour, after Series 13. And if he takes on another Doctor, I can see that meaning he's there for another 3 series. So that would be... he's the problem with this era for me. The dialogue has been dreadful, the writing has been awful. And the problems have been with the script mainly.
Mm. It's funny, isn't it? Because when you think about it, in classic Who era, there would have been a few times when different showrunners took over with an existing Doctor. But you can't imagine it happening now, can you? Because you just imagine that a new showrunner just wants to have their own take.
And I know I would. I know if I took over the role, I wouldn't want to take on the previous one.
Yeah.
Even if it was someone amazing like Capaldi, you know, you'd want to have a fresh start, really. I thought at the beginning Chibs and Jodie would leave together, actually.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. I think if Chibs was going to leave with Jodie, Jodie would have to be there a few more series because of his 5-year plan. So, yeah, I the problem is with Chibs for me. So it doesn't fill me with hope. It won't be when Jodie leaves, like a congratulatory moment, because, you know, she's not my big problem with the era.
She's quite a big problem with the era, I think. But I would agree that the main issue is one of Chibnall, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So who were the bookies saying then?
So the obviously the Mirror said Chris Marshall.
Yeah.
Because for some reason.
So he was talked about last time, wasn't he?
Yeah, for some reason Chris Marshall is being said.
Is he the ginger-haired guy?
Yeah. There's a lot of names which have been bandied around. There's a woman called Michaela, or Michaela Cole, who's from a series called I May Destroy You. And from what I've seen, I think she could be quite good.
Yeah.
Is
the guy from Game of Thrones still being talked about?
Who?
Richard Marston?
I haven't seen his name, Richard Madden. No, I haven't seen his name. There was also... I saw a thing earlier saying... And I don't personally think this would work, but there was Richard Ayoade from the IT Crowd.
He was talked about before, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I don't think it would work. I don't think personally he has the right amount of range. I really like him in the IT Crowd.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd work as the Doctor. You know, he's quirky, he's interesting, but I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean,
is there anyone you'd want?
I mean, if I'm allowed to sort of go into this now, I mean, Chibnall introduced the renegade doctor, or the Ruth doctor, whatever we call her. I actually would quite like it if it turned out that she was the next regeneration. Mm. I'd like Jodie to regenerate into her, and then it would help make a little bit more sense of the mess that is the end of the last series.
I think she has potential, actually. Yeah. I think I know we've only seen her a little bit, but if they build in her character a bit more, I think she could be quite a good doctor.
Yeah.
At least better than Jodie has been.
Yeah, I think I would like to see... I would like to see another woman doctor, actually, because I would like it to be proven that the doctor being a woman isn't the problem.
Yeah, because at the moment there's a lot of... There's a lot of things when there's a lot of fans out there who say, you know, you put out the point, I don't like Jodie, and then give the reasons, you know, absolutely perfectly fine reasons, nothing to do with gender. Mm. And somebody said it's because she's a woman. Mm. And it's not that, not at all. I agree with you. I think the next Doctor should be a woman. I don't think it should be something that's a novelty. I don't think it's something that should be treated as a failure either. I don't want it to go down as some sort of thing that's always treated as, oh, that was the only female doctor, she wasn't very good, she wasn't very popular, whatever. I know a lot of people really like her.
Yeah.
But I want it to be someone who's not as divisive, someone who proves that it can really work. I don't know whether that can happen with Chibs at the helm.
Well, that was the next point I was going to make, was that the only downside of that is that in many ways, maybe what it would end up doing is if Chibnall is still the problem and the episodes are still crap, then it would possibly just cement the fact that the female doctor doesn't work. Whereas we know that it could do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it feels like it's in the wrong hands.
Yeah, I mean, you could make it work perfectly. I mean, I personally don't think it will be a man. I think we can rule out a man. I think it should be the best person for the role. But I don't think it will be a man because I don't think Chibnall would want to throw away the female doctor thing. I don't think Chibnall would want to go with a man because it would mean that people would say, oh, the female doctor is a failure, he's given it up on it.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely going to go for a woman. I don't know who. I think Jo Martin and Michaela Cole are the best guesses, actually.
Sorry, when you went through the bookies' favourites, was she one of them?
Who?
Jo
Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. And my brain's gone blank on the other ones, actually, but... There's an actress out there. There's a few actresses that could work in the role, I think.
They're not talking about that silly Miranda woman again, are they?
I don't think we are.
Good.
So... Keely Hawes, I think, would be good, and Ruth Wilson. They are two actresses that I think should be given the role, and I think they'd work better. Or Olivia Colman, but I think she's a bit too busy at the moment.
Yeah, they're more likely to go for somebody that's not a huge actor, really.
I think so.
I mean, Jodie's was obviously a renowned actress, but not sort of Olivia Colman. Sort of
like. No, I don't think they'll go for Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Tania Miller as well would be good, but those are a few names I'm bandying about. It would be... I hope it's a woman, and I hope it's a good actress that's fitted to the role. Not that Jodie isn't a good actress, she's great in things like Broadchurch, but I just want someone suited to the role, someone that can prove it can really work.
Achoo!
Bless you.
So, what's your thinking about the whole the renegade doctor? Would you like to see that?
Yeah, I would. And
do you think that would make it feel like the whole timeless child thing wasn't quite such of a mess? It wouldn't fully resolve it, would it? Because that would still be there in the background. But I would like the whole business of why she's got a TARDIS that shouldn't have existed pre-Hartnell to be resolved, and that's one way that it would be.
I think it's such a big mess, that timeless child thing, that I think the fact that Ruth Doctor wouldn't even be part of that would make the timeless child even more pointless. But at the same time, I do want that to happen. I do want Jo Martin to be the 14th Doctor, because I think she has potential, and I think she could offer a sort of darker take on the role. A bit like how RTD had 9, who was a bit darker, and then he had 10, who was a bit sillier, and then Moffat did the same with 11 and 12.
Yeah.
You want the sort of two ends of the spectrum, really.
Yeah, no, I think
it would be good to have that darker take, and I think Jo Martin could do that. I think she'd be good.
It would also be a first. It would be the first time we've ever seen the Doctor before they've regenerated into the Doctor.
Yeah. It would be a really interesting, bold move.
Mm.
It would make... I'll be really annoyed if we don't see the Ruth Doctor again. If Chibnall... I'm sure we will. But if Chibnall just throws away that concept, if the only reason she was there was to tease the Timeless Child, then that's really annoying.
Yeah.
Because it sort of makes her pointless. But, you know... We'll see. Timeless Child is a bit of a mess, isn't it? I think any way it goes isn't going to be too well received.
Yeah.
I'd quite like it if it turned out the Master had been sort of tricking her and manipulating her and making her believe all these things and they're not true.
Yeah, I think we've got to be a bit careful with this conversation, because we're getting into the area of things we might talk about within the 3-minute rant.
That's a good point.
But... Is there, aside from the whole news about Jodie, I mean, obviously it's not been confirmed yet, but has there been any other news?
I don't think so, has there?
Not that I'm aware. Was there much fallout at all from the ratings or anything like that?
Not really. We haven't got through the consolidated ratings for Revolution of the Daleks yet, but they were pretty decently overnight viewing figures, weren't they? So, you know... It's not looking too shoddy on a ratings front in terms of the special. The Series 12 ratings weren't great.
Yeah.
But obviously the Not My Doctor people jumped to say, worst ratings ever. Yeah. And it was a bit weird, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should we go into our review then?
Yes.
Our final review of... Doctor Who Time and Space.
Yeah. Well, we're not reviewing Doctor Who Time and Space.
No.
I give it 1 star.
You'll be generous. So.
So let's review Seeds of Doom. Oh, yes, I'm meant to be speaking, aren't I? Well, then, the last 6 years we have been building... I mean, the podcast's been going for a little bit longer, but for the past 6 years, we have been building towards the end of this moment. From the Sontaran experiment in December 2014 to the Seeds of Doom in January 2021, we have been doing the randomizer, and now it comes to the end. And Dr. Cool? No, The Cool? That's your name,
isn't it? Yeah.
Daddy Cool?
Yeah,
synopsis.
I'll give a bit of a synopsis. I just think it's amazing, really, that every week, religiously, we've watched an episode of either new or classic Q.
Yeah.
Initially randomised, and then towards the end, we spread them out a little bit, didn't we, to make sure that we had an even spread of each of the Doctors. But so we ended quite rightly on the best Doctor of all time, Tom Baker, and Seeds of Doom. So this one, it starts off, it's very much, it's got a very similar sort of feel to The Thing, actually, I think, Seeds of Doom, certainly in its opening two episodes. It's based in Antarctica. There's a number of scientists that have discovered this mysterious pod that's all frozen. They take it back to their sort of scientific base and try to sort of do some experiments on it. They realise that it's a living thing, and it seems that it's been buried in the ice for many thousands of years. Underneath the light, it starts to thaw, and actually one of the scientist guys realises that this thing is a living thing. In the meantime, there's a posh bloke whose name I've forgotten already, Chase, is it?
Yeah.
Who's like a botanist, and sort of a billionaire botanist, actually. And he gets wind of the fact that there is this pod, and he sends off a couple of hoodlums to try and recover it. In the meantime, back at the base in Antarctica, the pod opens up and grasps onto one of the scientists, turning him into this sort of half man, half plant creature called a crinoid.
A crinoid.
Crinoid. I say to it because we've been calling him crinoids, haven't we?
Yeah, I've always thought it was a crinoid.
Yeah, and I've been trying to get the right term.
I'd rather it was called a crinoid.
Yeah, but it isn't. So you've got to live with it. So anyway, stuff happens around here. Eventually, these hoodlums manage to get hold of the second pod that's been located, and tries to destroy all evidence of their theft by blowing up the Antarctica base. They think they've destroyed the Doctor and Sarah Jane, but they haven't. In the meantime, they fly back to England, as in these two hoodlums, and bring the pod to this posh botanist, Chase. He's obviously a little bit mad. Excuse me, I've got a cough a second.
Yeah.
And It wouldn't be like a Dr. Cool synopsis if I didn't cough at some point.
Yeah, it's true.
And
he's going to do it again.
Probably. I probably will do it in a minute. Yeah. When you start talking, it immediately starts tickling the cough trigger.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. So
every time you speak.
But yeah, mainly. Where are we at? So the story then really changes. It's then based very much in this old stately home, which just happens to be Athelhampton House, which is a mere 10-minute ride away from where we live.
Yeah, we're going to go at one point.
We will do, yeah. We will do indeed.
When everything settles down.
And at that sort of stage, it's the Doctor and Sarah Jane managed to track down the pod at Chase's Manor, and Chase basically tries to off them. Going into the spoiler alert sort of territory, because it's quite deep into the story now, eventually the other pod also opens and bonds itself to one of the hoodlums, who soon turns, it starts going all green and plant-like, gradually starts expanding until he's this humongous great giant triffids type plant. It also manages to overpower Chase and links in somewhere to his sort of psyche and possesses him. So you've got both sets of villains, really. You've both got the giant plant that's taking over other plants and using them to sort of try and strangulate everybody, etc. But you've also got the evil doings of Chase. Unit involved in this. I think that's probably enough, actually, as a bit of a synopsis of it. What's your take on this one, then?
Well, I really like it. It's great. Mm-hmm. Classic Tom Baker. This great era, this Hinchcliffe era. One of the best series of the show, I think.
Yeah.
And it's terrific. It's got some great monsters, some great characters, some great humour. Obviously, great Doctor and companion. It's got a lot of really exciting moments and a decent pace going through it. It's a good story. It's a very good Doctor Who story. Quite a lot, pretty much everything you'd want from a classic Doctor Who adventure. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it.
I would agree with you. It is from a really strong era.
Hmm.
You know, it's from that sort of really, I think from Troughton's era through to the second half of Tom Baker's era.
Yeah, Doctor Who is
really strong, yeah. Isn't it? So let's, rather than dwell too much now on what's good or bad, let's dwell on that in about a second's time, when for the last time ever,
no!
We get into the section of the show that we have always liked to call
Too Good, Too Bad!
Too good, too bad. When we contemplate two good things on any given subject, in this instance, Seeds of Doom.
And two bad things on any given subject, in this instance, the Seeds of Doom.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
So, for the very final time, we both choose one good thing. We both choose one bad thing, making two good, two bad.
It's quite emotional.
It is quite emotional. Gary Lineker, you've now got two good to bad just for yourself in Match of the Day, having stolen it off of us years ago.
I hate you, Gary, for stealing it.
I do think that we were the first to come up with this concept, I'm pretty sure. Whether Lineker intentionally stole it, I don't know, but it is our
idea. We should steal Walker's crisps from
him. We should do that.
We should get the stir.
Thinking of the good stuff, first of all, and there's a lot of good stuff in this episode, what would you choose being the standout?
I'm going to give it to the villain of the piece, Harrison Chase. I think he's great, he's utterly mental, and has just such a great vibe to him. He's quite Bondy as a villain, sort of just with his henchmen and everything, and he adds a really great atmosphere to it with his, you know, he's got a great smile. It's very good. He's a very good villain.
Yeah, he is really good. And you're right. I mean, although the setting isn't very Bond-like, I think what makes it very Bond-like is he is, but also when they go to the bit with the compost maker, which is very reminiscent of what nearly happened to Sean Connery's Bond in Goldfinger, that's a really good shout. There's a couple of things that I was toying with, the one which I think probably should win through, but I'm not going to go for, just because I've done it so many times throughout.
It wouldn't feel like the final one if you don't do things that you've done so many times.
Yeah, but I mean, it is hard to look too far away from Tom Baker, who's brilliant in this. His little jokes, his witty remarks, his big huge smile he's got, but I've gone to Tom as my go to on so many occasions. So I'm going to go instead to the
crinoids.
And in particular, I think when they're in that sort of that human state.
Yeah.
I really liked the way with this story that until the final, probably the second part and the final two parts, they're not really the monster. They're there in the background, but they are setting the plot, really, more than anything. They're a plot device, really, aren't they, more than anything else, but a really, really good one. And I think, There's something quite horrible about the way that the plant actually takes over the body and everything. So I'm going to go for those.
Yeah. My band's going to be that. I really like the crinoids.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I find it spoils the atmosphere a bit when the crinoid gets really huge.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that. I find it gets a bit too silly in that form, I think, just because it's a really good subtle threat in the first few parts, and the Keeler one turns really huge, and it gets a bit naff because of how bad the effects are in some places. And I'm not necessarily saying it for the effects, but I think it would have been more effective if they remained smaller beings.
I think so, and what I think would have worked better is if it wasn't that they got really huge and bigger, because it feels a little bit like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm.
But I think I would rather that they infected others, and other people then, they like sort of plant the seed inside somebody else, and then they sort of like turn the same. So you more start getting a bit like the zombie effect, really.
Yeah, it's a great concept.
Army of plant people.
Mm.
I think I'd have preferred that. So I was actually going to go for that, which, as a result of you choosing that, I'm going to have to go for one of my real regular ones, which is that however good story it is, and it is really good, I found the last two parts dragged a little bit, and I think probably it's a really good story, a really good concept, really good characters, really good villain, really good monster, but still feels like it's probably a five-parter rather than a six-parter.
Yeah, I think it's quite an ambitious story because it's got sort of two different settings going on.
Yeah.
So I don't think it necessarily needs to be four parts, but yeah, I think a five-parter would have.
Yeah, it just felt... It's funny because we were watching part five and it felt like that should be the finale, and I think they could have just merged them into a single episode probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not a big...
It's not as poorly paced as a lot of classic
Who stories. No, indeed.
It holds up pretty well throughout.
Yeah. So, other goods and bads. We won't dwell too much longer on this because we've got other things we want to talk about today with this being the final show.
Tom Baker.
Baker is brilliant in this, isn't he? Yeah. He's at his charming, oddest best.
Yes.
I love the setting. I love both settings, actually. I think it's really effective in Antarctica, and it's really good as well, and we get to go to Athelhampton House. And I kept sort of saying, didn't I? I was like, oh, I've been there. I've walked there.
You got very excitable.
Yeah, I did, yeah. So those were good. What did you think of the supporting characters in this one?
Oh, God.
It's your turn.
My turn?
Yeah.
We better not have coronavirus.
I don't think so.
Anyway. Yeah. Right, where are we going with this? Yeah, it's support characters.
Yeah.
I'm worried now. Anyway, no, don't. I've got distracted.
it wouldn't
support
be
characters, right? Okay, I'm going to
get always get distracted. I always get distracted,
right. Yeah. Supportive characters, there's some good ones, I think. There's some likeable ones, there's some unlikable ones that work well. You know, it's a good episode for supportive characters, I think. Which... In Classic Who, the supportive characters can sometimes feel like cardboard cutouts. And I think they feel quite good here, really.
Yeah. But you've got like, odd, like the old lady, Mrs. Duque, I think she is.
Yeah.
And who's not really very important to it, but it's just quite entertaining being in there.
Yeah.
And they have those sort of characters periodically, I think, in Classic Who.
Yeah. Like that one that pops up in Silver Nemesis, right? Remember that one?
I can't remember it, but I remember not liking Silver Nemesis very much.
It's not very good.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts on
I don't on think so. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up?
No, I think it was a good one. It was a nice one to watch as the end of our Who watch.
When we stopped doing the randomizer, it was one of the best ones left, so I saved it till the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the final one. Do you want to ask the question for the final
time? I think we should. Yeah. So, particularly as we forgot last week.
Last week was Revolution of the Daleks.
Yeah, we forgot. Although it's fairly obvious, to be honest. So, the big question for the final time on this podcast, the Seeds of Doom, hit or miss?
Hit or miss. Hit, definitely.
Yeah,
hit.
I think it's a resounding hit.
Oh, a resounding hit for me. Yes.
A really good.
Which is a change from last week for you.
Yeah, which was definitely a resounding miss.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the end of our review. Shall we, before we get on to looking sort of towards the future, which is what we're going to do with our 3-minute rant. Mm. Should we have a look back briefly over the podcast, over the randomizer?
Yeah.
This is a new section of the show for 1 week only called Five Good, Five Bad.
Do we have to do a theme song?
No.
No.
But I'd just be interested. And I know some of the thoughts probably change over time, but... We've watched all of the Who episodes that are available to us now.
Yeah.
What would you pick out as being your five favourites and your five least favourites? Let's both do our five favourites.
So I changed my list, actually, because originally my list was very different to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few stories that I've missed out from what I would have chosen before. But should I do them from five to one,
I think.
5 to 1. So, number 5 is Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 is Human Nature, Family of Blood.
Okay.
Number 3 is Blink.
Yeah.
Number 2 is The War Games.
Yeah.
And number 1 is Genesis of the Daleks.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. And how many of those do you think are in my top five.
Genesis is definitely going to be on there.
Well, don't spoil it. Don't see which ones. I just want to know a number.
Oh, right.
How many of the five? How many do you think, from one to five, do you think would be the same as yours?
Did they have to be in the same order? No. Okay. Three, I reckon.
Okay. So for me, my number five is City of Death.
Okay.
And it feels like it should be higher than that, actually.
City of Death and Talons of Wen Chiang dismiss out.
Yeah. Four, Blink.
Yeah.
Three, War Games.
Yeah.
Two, Inferno. One, Genesis of the Daleks.
Cool.
So actually, we're four out of the five the same.
Wow.
Yeah. That is interesting, isn't it?
Oh, God, Inferno's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking at the bad.
Yeah.
What would you, again, go from fifth worst
to... Yeah, three. So fifth is Fear Her.
Yep.
Fourth is The Happiness Patrol.
Uh-huh.
Third is Paradise Towers.
Yep.
Second is Arachnids in the UK.
Yep.
And first is The Saranga Conundrum.
Okay, interesting. So how many of those do you think are in my bottom five?
I reckon four.
Okay. So for me, the fifth worst, Arachnids in the UK.
Okay.
Fourth worst, Fear Her. Third worst, The Dominators. Second worst, Paradise Towers. First worst, Saranga Conundrum.
Yeah, I wonder how you spelt that.
I just wrote a big blur with a T at the beginning. So actually, yet again, they're the same other than one.
Yeah, what was the different one?
So I had The Dominators, and you had Happiness Patrol.
Yeah, Dominators I don't like, but...
Mm.
Yeah, it's dreadfully boring. It would be in my bottom ten, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Fear Her than Arachnids in the UK.
Yeah.
I hate Fear Her, but I'd rather watch it than Arachnids in the UK.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you. So...
I only had one New Who on in my top five.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the Capaldi one, which I can't remember the name. Heaven Sent, is there? Yeah. Which is very close, but I just couldn't put it in above any of those.
Things like Midnight and stuff, they come really close. I wanted to ask you, we've been doing the podcast since 2012,
yeah.
I believe, when the first episode was Mary Tam passing away. And we decided to do The Randomizer in 2014. And then I remember you firmly stating, because I was the one who introduced you to New Who and you were the one who introduced me to Classic Who.
Yeah.
I remember you firmly stating at the time that you prefer Classic Who over New Who. Now that we've gone through all these episodes, mm-hmm. which one do you think is better?
It's difficult. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, the top fives don't lie. I think... Both of us have got more Classic Who stories than we've got New Who stories.
Yep.
I had four out of five of mine were classic ones.
Three out of five for me.
When they get it right with Classic Who, it is stronger because the stories have got a bit more room to breathe, I think.
Yeah.
They can develop a little bit more because of the format of them. There's no doubting that New Who is an easier watch, though.
Yeah, New Who is more enjoyable, mm-hmm. And more rewatchable.
Yeah.
I've also had a change of heart, actually. I think before you, I had a change of heart. It was looking back at the RTD era and the Moffat era and watching some of those and realising how good the show was back then. And there's such a golden period with Classic Who between Patrick Troughton and Tom Baker, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. I'd say definitely from the War Games to Horror of Fang Rock, that is a wonderful period of television.
Yeah.
And there's not really any terrible stuff going on there. But the New Who may not have any solid batches of time that are as wonderful as that, but it does feel more enjoyable, it does feel lighter to watch, and there's often some stuff that works better with the format of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think the only argument to that is that I think I would still rather be watching, and I know it is easier to watch New Who, but I would rather be watching War Games through to Horror Fang Rock. So actually, I don't think you can really compare New Who and Classic Who in many respects.
They're very different shows.
Because I think Classic Who, at its best, is better and is more watchable and is stronger. But it definitely, from towards the end of Tom Baker's era, got weaker and weaker until it finally...
Yeah.
Until it finally disappeared.
There's still some good stuff in there, it's mainly not great after that.
So, you know, I think it depends. It's probably too simplistic to say which is better. Because there's no doubting, to me, the best period of Doctor Who. If they were going to destroy all of Who and save a number of years, I would be going for the War Games to Horror Fang Rock to preserve and let everything else go.
Yeah. That is a wonderful period.
Yeah.
I think I probably have to prefer preserve RTD, just because I find New Who to be more rewatchable.
Yeah.
Classic Who is wonderful at its best, but it's sometimes hard to rewatch regularly such long stories.
I guess, yeah. Mm. Although I just think there's a lot of bland in New Who all the way through.
There's a lot of bland in Classic Who as well.
Yeah, but there is, but not in that era. And that's the point I'm making.
Mm. Well, there are some bland stories.
There might be a handful, but there's not very much, you know. Yeah. Whereas I would argue that about half of New Who is bland.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of bland stories, but a lot of them are in season 6 and 7. they are Moffat era stories, to be honest.
Yeah,
you always say there are RTD era stories, but there's a lot more filler in Moffat.
Maybe I just think that that when Moffat gets it right, he really gets it right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there are. I don't want to go down this side because we've had it quite a few times, and we probably need to get onto other stuff in the podcast. But I think if you took all of the best episodes from New Who and put them together into a run, and did likewise with Classic Who, then it actually there wouldn't be much difference. I don't think.
No.
It's just I think with Classic Who, their best stories pretty much were all condensed into that period.
Yeah.
Whereas with New Who, they're more spread out.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got the disadvantage of having the Chibnall era as well.
Yeah.
There's a few daft things in New Who. I think Doctor Who in general is just a show which is very inconsistent, but that is because there's so many different genres, so many different styles and creatures and everything that is used there, that every person has a different taste. Every person likes different stories. Every person dislikes different stories. And it's one of the shows that I think is most divisive in terms of what people like, because there's a lot of dispute over that. And that's what Doctor Who is. It's such a broad subject that it's impossible for it to be consistent.
So they
both suffer from inconsistency, both suffer from dullness, but they also have entertaining batches and great batches too.
So, shall we move on to probably the final section of the show, really, other than wrapping things up.
Final section ever.
We're going to do a section that we've not done much of late, but it used to be a fairly regular feature. We did reintroduce it about a month or so ago, I think. But this is a section of the show entitled It's the 3 Minute
Rant. I love that theme tune. Wunderbar.
It is the best, isn't it? It just makes you a party.
Yeah, it's glorious.
Yeah. Although it always means the actual item itself is always a major disappointment.
I know. And we just had a very big kerfuffle on whether which one of us was going to be doing which in this in this later rant. Anyway, should I explain?
Yeah, so
3 minute rant. It's a part of the show that we've done for quite some time, and we've got a few notable segments of the show, but this is one of our favourites, so it's good to cap it off with this. And we take a subject, and both of us rant about it, and this time that subject is going to be Series 13. Now, I will be discussing the things I want to see in Series 13, and the cool here will be discussing things that he does not want to see in Series 13. And we've got a 3 minute timer. We're on the clock. It's actually, before we go through with this, it's actually quite difficult, isn't it, when you're under the time?
It is.
It's quite difficult because you've got the thoughts whirring.
And because we've only just decided who's doing which, we haven't really had time to think it through.
So it's very much on the spot, which is what's good about this.
So who's going first?
Should I go first? Or,
Get out of the way. All right, well, you're 3 minutes. So you're going to do what you do want to see.
What I do want to see.
Okay, and your 3 minutes of what you do want to see starts now.
So the last series we saw the Timeless Child happen, and the next series, I don't want to be too bogged down there, but at the same time, I want them to make it work as a concept. And I think that should be one of the starting points of what we do in terms of the series. Have the series arc build a bit more on what happened before, maybe the Doctor trying to find her race, or the Master's repercussions, or the Ruth Doctor, or something like that. And I would like to see the repercussions of it addressed a bit, and make it a really worthwhile concept, because it really is a concept that is too controversial. It doesn't feel like it has a proper purpose at the moment. I really want to make them have a purpose for it. Secondly, I really want them to give the Ruth Doctor a purpose in herself. I really want to see some of her story, some of her adventures, and give her enough to do and make her not really just there for the shock factor. I want them to maintain the shocks. I want them to keep a lot of things secret, because in series 12, the best elements were arguably those that were kept from us, things like the Ruth Doctor reveal, Captain Jack's return, the Master reveal, you know, things like that. Really shocking moments is what this era does really well, and the secrecy needs to be maintained. I want some more obscure villains to come back, so villains from Classic Who that haven't actually come back yet. Things like the Rani, or the Terepatils, or the Mara, or some lovely wacky things from the past that we've not seen in New Who. The Sea Devils would be a nice example. But if they're just New Who villains, I'd like them to do them well. I want them to do the Sontarans well, because we know they're back. I want them to give them real purpose, real strength, and restore the threat factor of them. I want Dan to have a really interesting companion dynamic, and I want him to add something different, maybe be a bit untrustworthy. I think that would be interesting. But also, I want Yaz to get a lot to do. I want her arc to really feel like it is resolved and feel like it has purpose. But I also want them to write her out. I don't think she should stay any longer, and I want it to be 13's final series. I also don't want Thasmin to happen, and I don't want her feelings for the Doctor to dominate her arc, because that didn't work with Martha. But I'm leaning too much into your 30 side.
30 seconds.
And, I want Yaz to have a lot of purpose, a lot of strength, because I think Revolution really proves that. She has potential to be good. And I want the Master to return, because Sacha Dhawan is one of the best things about this era, I think, and he could have a great potential in the future to appear, maybe give the Cyber Lords a bit of a purpose, and I think he will in the finale. Have a big finale as well, not dominated by the past, but make it accessible, but not sort of alienating people, alienating fans.
Yeah. Okay, well done.
Okay.
That was very well done, actually. You kept that time pretty well.
But I did sort of lean into...
You did a little bit, yeah.
Into your side.
But that's okay, because we're going to give different thoughts.
Should I do it on my phone, or do you want me to
do it on yours if you want.
I don't want to steal your phone.
Yeah, that's why I don't want your germs all over my phone.
Yeah, I know.
Got all my own germs on it. I don't need yours as well.
What is the app?
So I just use the clock countdown or timer.
Should have sorted this out.
So proving that I'm usually more organised.
if you compass.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a compass on it. No, I don't want big
so
finish.
So whilst you're trying to do that, so I'm going to be thinking about the things I don't want to see.
The typical filler section.
Yeah. I don't want to see in the series. Are you there yet?
No. Just keep filling it.
I've got nothing else to say. Those are going to eat into my actual thoughts. I just don't know how it takes this long.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes, isn't it?
3 minutes, yeah.
Go.
Okay, so...
No, wait, don't go yet. Now.
Yeah, so things... so what don't I want to see in season 13? And... somehow I've got to make that this last for 3 minutes, but in reality, it's the whole thing. I don't really want to watch another series of this BAP, because however much I like Doctor Who as a concept, this current era is a real struggle to watch. There have been, to be fair, I did like the previous series. I found watchable, but the more you think back on it, it probably wasn't as good as I thought it was at the time. It's not very strong. But anyway, I am going to still try and put an argument into this. So the key things are, I don't want to see the stories overcrowded with characters, which I think has been a real issue for me right the way through Chris Chibnall's era. He seems to... I saw somebody wrote this point, so it's not my own... thought, but it's part of my rant, which is that he just sometimes seems to throw so many ideas and so many characters into a story so that people find the next bit happening before they've realised that the first bit isn't actually very good. And I think there's definitely something in that. But whether we're talking about the TARDIS team with the numbers that we've had, the three companions, it's felt crowded. I don't want to see a crowded TARDIS. I don't want to see a TARDIS full of not just the Doctor, not just three companions, but Chris Roth, Captain Jack. I don't want to see that many people in the TARDIS, and I don't want to see that many people in the stories. I don't want to see really forgettable villains. I don't want to see sort of like monsters that you immediately look at and think, I don't want to see monsters that you look at and you think, well, I never want to see them again. You know, I mean, even though probably there's been more returning villains in classic Who, there are the odd few through New Who which probably stand the test of time and could return again. I don't think there's anything from Chris Chibnall's era that constitutes in any way a returnable villain. Other than the ones that are returning villains from classic Who. I don't want to see Chris Chibnall's political commentary, because to me, he may have a good grasp of politics.
15 seconds.
I don't even disagree with his politics in some cases, but it just doesn't really work in this or any era. He doesn't do it in the same way that, say, it worked effectively in John Pertwee's era, and really, finally, to end it up, if it's the end of my rant, I don't want to see Chris Chibnall in it, you don't see him in it anyway, but I don't want Chris Chibnall to be anywhere near it.
Yeah.
There we are, that's my three-minute rant.
Three-minute rant.
Yeah, which is probably just over, because I actually heard that there was a delay between you pressing the button and the noise of it ticking, so I think I actually probably... You thought did. You turned it on and you hadn't.
No, but the thing was, it led me to a web app.
Yeah.
And I clicked on it and it started before I had the chance to click pause.
Ah, yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, there we go. That's the final 3-minute rant and probably the final section of the show. But before we move on to our wrap-up and endings, should we just give a bit of an indicator of what we're going to be doing now that this podcast finishes?
Yeah, go ahead. I've done enough.
Okay, so we have got another idea. We're going to start the randomizer again.
We're going to start this podcast again.
No, there's no. I don't think I could actually sit through. I couldn't sit through every Who episode again. There's too many. There's some really great ones. I love the show. There's really great stories in there, but there's quite a number that I would quite happily never watch again.
Yeah,
if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, same with me, to be honest. I probably will end up watching all of them one day in a marathon or something.
But. Yeah. So I think what we've talked about doing instead is a new podcast where we will focus in on like a film or a series that we've watched over the weekend when we're together, and it's going to be called. I forgot what it's going to be called. Actually, what is it going to be called? To geek or not to geek?
Yeah.
And it essentially will involve us asking a question, which we will then attempt to answer on that podcast, which may be, it may be about, well, I don't know, well, you'll find out if you listen to it.
If you find out, you know.
But we'll be doing that, and we'll also be talking about some of the other things we've been watching. So there will be a lot of sci-fi on there, but there'll be a lot of other cult television programming and a lot of films being talked about.
Yeah, it won't just be sci-fi, you know, there'll be a lot of shows that we're watching, you know, crime shows, dramas,
superhero comedies, stuff,
films, superheroes, yeah.
And we will probably, we've not fully decided, but we will probably also move the podcast to a new platform. Mm. We'll probably move it to SoundCloud rather than Podomatic, which is where it currently sits.
Yeah, so, that should be interesting. Mm. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It's a sad moment.
It's a sad moment.
But it feels like time. It feels like...
It does.
I think one thing is clear. Our love for the show, because of the situation with the current era, I know certainly my love for the show is not what it was.
It certainly feels like Doctor Who has sort of become a thing we discuss and watch, but it isn't something we love as much. You know, we obviously still enjoy it and the older ones and watching them, but there's something about the new era that's really changed my particular perception of the show. And I hate that.
It's funny, but I don't know about you, but I've even found there's something, for whatever reason, with the current Chibnall era, I've even found it harder to get interested in even the old classic ones or the other earlier incarnations of Who, just because it seems to have somehow just soured my love of the programme.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can come back, because that happened to me years ago, to be fair. I remember not liking the Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy era the first time around. It wasn't until you grew up and you got into Doctor Who and you were watching New Who that we started watching it together.
Mm.
It wasn't until then, basically Matt Smith era was when I started watching Doctor Who again.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm sure the love of it can come back, but it's not there at the moment for me.
I still love Doctor Who, I always will. It'll always be there as one of my favourite programmes. But my reaction to it certainly has changed. I think that might be because of The Timeless Child, really, because it does change everything you know about it, and it sort of feels like it diminishes what happened before to me.
Yeah.
But also just this era in general has really killed my enthusiasm for it. And it's a shame, it really is, but it'd be sad to end on a negative note. So I think, to wrap up, what did you love about the show? What is the reasoning
I think the best thing about the show is the fact that firstly we have a little bit of a laugh and we're doing yeah. it. I think that when I've enjoyed the show the most, and I love the randomizer sequence, it's been yeah. great. But I think when I like it most is when we both watched an episode and we don't know what the other one thinks about it, and we're sharing our thoughts on the episode for the first time ever. Good example, last week's show.
And last week's show was good. If you've enjoyed us today, which yeah. I'm sure you haven't, but please go and listen to last week's show.
Yeah, but I think that's what I like most is yeah. when we, and I think we always have a good discussion about things. We don't always agree on things, and we just have a laugh really.
And it's always great to spend time with you. It feels like it's a lovely hobby to do. I think and.
And hopefully people will enjoy the new podcast too.
Yeah, hopefully you have found some enjoyment. If you've stuck with us for a while, if you've only tuned in for a couple of shows, or if this is your first time and last time, and you've grabbed a little coffee, remember all that? I hope you've enjoyed our quiz and questions and who to faces and redeeming the irredeemables. It's certainly been a ride, hasn't it?
Our monster parades.
Yeah. Remember at the beginning of the podcast when you pretended to release the episodes?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I used to put like the charts at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then.
But you were only little then.
I was.
You know,
yeah.
How old were you when we first started the podcast?
I don't know. But.
It was little, did it?
Yeah. But the. Yeah, it was. It was a nice time.
It was. It's been really good fun. 400 plus episodes.
401, yeah.
Yeah. But this is the final one.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any point in asking how people can contact us because we won't be there.
We won't be there.
We won't be there anymore.
I wonder if this podcast will ever return.
Who knows?
I mean, I know...
We've not decided yet, have we? What will happen when the new series comes out? Will we bring this series back for a period of time, or will we integrate it within our new podcast? If that podcast works, we might...
The question is, will us stepping away from Doctor Who for a while restore our love for it or alienate us from it
more? Yeah.
I don't know, but...
I think it would differ. I mean, I'm more likely to be distant from it. You're very heavily involved in Doctor Who stuff more generally, aren't you?
Yeah.
In social media and stuff. And therefore, I think you will stay probably far more linked to it than I will.
Yeah, indeed, and it's.
I probably won't watch Doctor Who again now, until there's a new showrunner.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to make you watch the next series, but you know, it's
my Christmas, my New Year's Day would have been better without it.
It's gonna be sad not to do this podcast. I know we've got a new one, but. It's been a very enjoyable show. We've had a laugh. We've had some lovely running jokes. Is my bag done up? But yeah, it's going to be a shame to wrap it up. And if I hope that we can do the show again one time more, one day, whether it's with us two or whether I bring it back or whatever, one day maybe you will see us again on Doctor Who Time and Space. Maybe you should stay tuned for then. Who have you been?
I've been The Cool.
And I've been Lewis Moon. We may see you another time, but we probably won't. Same time.
Same space.
That was ruined. Say it again. Same space.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Thank you. They call me the Doctor. I am a Doctor. Oh,
too bad!
And that's a wrap.